In this bulletin, the family of a 19-year-old Wapri man shot dead by Northern Territory Police call for court proceedings to be held in Uwendamu or Alice Springs. Growing calls for funding to be restored to the peak body representing Indigenous survivors of domestic violence. And history made as Victoria's first elected body for Aboriginal Australians holds its first meeting. This is NITV Radio News. I'm Biwa Kwan. The family of the 19-year-old Wapri man shot dead by police in the Northern Territory has called for court proceedings to be held in Uwendamu or Alice Springs. The location of the case against the police officer charged with the murder of Kuman J. Walker is at the centre of an application from counsel of the accused to be heard in the Alice Springs Magistrates Court on Thursday. Wapri elder Ned Hargrave says any move to shift the court case to Darwin would make it extraordinarily difficult for community members to travel to stay across the proceedings. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner June Oscar has joined calls for government funding to be restored to the peak body representing Indigenous survivors of domestic violence. The National Family Violence Prevention and Legal Services Forum represents 13 frontline organisations, but the federal government won't be renewing its funding. Commissioner Oscar says the decision will have a negative impact on the collective voice of Indigenous women and harms attempts to close the health gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians. The councils of social service around the country have also added their voice to the calls to restore funding. In a joint statement, the councils say that $250,000 a year in funding is critical to reducing the disproportionately high number of Indigenous women experiencing domestic violence. They are 35 times more likely to be hospitalised for family violence than other women in Australia. A global assessment of countries' emissions trajectories shows Australia, the United States and Saudi Arabia are among major polluters, showing hardly any signs of reducing their greenhouse gas production. The Climate Change Performance Index measures the emissions, renewable energy share and climate policies of 57 countries and the European Union. It found the US ranks last, followed by Saudi Arabia and Australia, with Sweden leading the way in reducing emissions. Speaking at the UN's COP25 summit in Madrid, Energy Minister Angus Taylor defended Australia's record, saying renewable energy now makes up more than 25% of the country's electricity supply.
Strong messages and targets alone won't address climate change, no matter how ambitious. The world needs action to reduce emissions, and Australia believes technology is central to achieving this. We can only reduce emissions as fast as the deployment of commercially viable technologies allow. This means we need to get the right technology to the marketplace when and where it is needed.
The Rural Fire Service has confirmed more than 720 homes have been destroyed in New South Wales over the bushfire season. The fire danger level remains elevated across large parts of the state, despite a southerly wind change reducing temperatures. The Bureau of Meteorology says although conditions have eased, the smoke will continue to linger in the coming days. Total fire bans are in place for northwestern New South Wales, the Northern Slopes and the Central Ranges. Members of Victoria's First Peoples Assembly say a major step has been taken on the path to treaty between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians in the state. The first democratically elected body for Aboriginal Victorians held its inaugural meeting on Tuesday and reconvened again today. The Assembly is made up of 32 members who will establish the ground rules for how treaties can be negotiated in the state and help set up an independent umpire for treaty talks. Member Reuben Berg says he's honoured to take part in the historic process.
I am hopeful for this process, hopeful that this will empower our people now and in the future. But I do not expect this to be easy. As others have mentioned, I expect us to have some tough conversations. We are a diverse community, but I hope we can come together with respect, with patience, to work towards a shared vision for the future.
New Zealand authorities say the post-mortem and identification of the six people who died following a volcanic eruption have begun. 25 survivors of the White Island eruption are in a critical condition in hospital, with five others stable but serious. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says recovery teams are hoping to access the island today, where another eight people are missing and feared dead. Acting Assistant Commissioner Bruce Bird says emergency response officials are assessing all of the information they have from scientists and other experts before a decision is made regarding recovery efforts.
We've got to be certain of the environmental situation out there on the island, what's happening, and then we can make some decisions once we've got all of that information. Safety for our staff is a huge priority for us, and we've got to get this right.
Three of the people who've died are believed to be Australian. Western Australia's Parliament has passed historic legislation that allows terminally ill patients to end their own lives. It makes WA the second state in Australia to adopt voluntary assisted dying laws after Victoria passed legislation in 2017. The laws passed after the lower house spent more than 5 hours approving the last 55 amendments. Premier Mark McGowan says it's a significant moment for the state.
We have done something amazing. We've passed laws that end the needless suffering of West Australians at the end of their lives, should they choose to do so. We've acted to give West Australians genuine choice about the end of their lives. We've given so many in the community hope as we go into Christmas.
The scheme is expected to be implemented in 18 months, with the legislation scheduled for review 2 years from commencement. The International Criminal Court has begun a series of hearings into allegations of genocide in Myanmar over a military campaign against the Rohingya minority. West African nation The Gambia launched the proceedings against Myanmar with the backing of 57 members of the Organisation of Islamic Cooperation. The case is the first international legal attempt to bring Myanmar to justice over alleged mass killings of the Muslim minority in 2017, which led to more than 700,000 Rohingya fleeing to neighbouring Bangladesh. The Gambia's Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Abubakar Marie Tambado, says Myanmar has violated the 1948 Genocide Convention.
Reports from various credible international organisations, including the United Nations and the Organisation of Islamic Cooperation, indicate that many thousands of people have already died as a direct result of Myanmar's genocidal actions. And the number of refugees on exodus is of biblical proportions.
Myanmar has strongly denied the charges, but says it stands ready to take action against wrongdoers if there is sufficient evidence. A new interactive map of Tasmania place names has been publicly released. The Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre developed the map as part of a response to the state government's revised policy on Aboriginal and dual naming. The centre's senior researcher, Annie Reynolds, says the project honours the resilience of Aboriginal languages.
What we want is to hear people saying these words again, to bring the language back to life, both Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people, so that the air in Lutruwita, Tasmania, is full of the sound of Aboriginal language spoken again.
And to sport, in cricket, Australian and Kiwi players will band together before the first test to pay tribute to the lives lost in the volcanic eruption in New Zealand this week. The first test between Australia and New Zealand gets underway in Perth on Thursday, and the two nations will band together to organise a tribute before play starts. Australia coach Justin Langer says the players will no doubt be affected by the tragedy. And now a look at the weather. In Perth, very hot and sunny 38, Adelaide sunny 27, Melbourne partly cloudy 19, Hobart shower 2 developing 23, smoke haze in Canberra 33, smoke haze also in Wollongong 22, Sydney cloudy 24, Newcastle smoke haze 24, Brisbane mostly sunny 33, Cairns showers 31, and Darwin shower 2 possible storm 35. This is NITV Radio News.